Ezekiel 22:30 says, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." You can be seated. So this is God. This is in Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel. And this was God speaking, saying this. And so notice he says, "I sought for a man among them." What's very interesting to me is it says for a man. It doesn't say for 1,000 people, for 100 people, for one person. Why is that important? Because how often do we think, how much is my time that I'm spending actually making in a world of people that need Jesus? And God didn't say, "I sought for 1,000 to seek my face." He said, "I sought for a," that is singular. Now, of course, we know that 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name." So it's not to say that God only wants one person. But what happens is God speaks to us individually. And then he brings individuals together in agreement. And we become a massive, you know, voice seeking God. So don't ever think that when you are praying that, even if you do feel like you're alone, don't ever think that it doesn't matter. God used 300. He took it down from 32,000 to 300 with Gideon's army in order to defeat the Amalekites. Why? Or the Midianites. Because he didn't want man to get the glory for it. And so it's important that we understand the time that you spend. The Bible says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or a righteous person avails much. It matters a lot. And so when we come in prayer, and even if it's not a long prayer, that's our other problem. I posted on Hashtag News, there's a message by Robert Morris. And if you don't understand intercession, I would challenge you to watch the YouTube message, "The Joy of Intercession," because it will change your perspective on intercession. And Robert Morris talks about the fact that he never would have put joy and intercession together. He said, "Because I am a bottom line type of person." And he said, "To me, intercession meant a long prayer." And he went into the fact that intercession is not always a long prayer. Now, it can be a long prayer. And sometimes the Holy Spirit might lead you to pray a lengthier span of time, but a 5-minute prayer, when that is what is directed by the Holy Spirit and it is in pursuit of God's will. I mean, I have felt times like that where I know that it was effective, even if it was 5 minutes. And so don't assume that the time that we're going to spend tonight, because it's not 3 hours, isn't going to be effective. Just pray when the Holy Spirit leads you to pray. And if the Holy Spirit leads you to pray 2 hours, then pray 2 hours, because the Holy Spirit is doing a work in you and in that time. But if you have 5 minutes and you feel to pray during that time, a lot of times when we pray for multiple people too, we might pray 2 minutes for this one and 2 minutes for that one and 2 minutes for that one. And that's okay. The goal is that we hear God and that we pray in agreement with the will of God the Father. And so one person can make a huge difference. God didn't say, "I sought for a group." It's important. He said, "I sought for a man. I sought for a person." So be the one that God is seeking for, and let God, imagine if God said, "I sought for one person in Kingsland that would make a wall that would stand in the gap for the people there, but I couldn't find any." God, don't let that ever be spoken about us. You know, for let us be willing and obedient. Okay, so our missionaries, we're specifically going to focus on praying for our missionaries tonight. And two things, we're going to pray with them and we're going to pray for them. So Ezekiel 22:30 says, "God sought for a man among them who would make a wall." Will you put up the slide, Jacob? Making a wall. Okay. Our prayers make a wall. Now, anybody who's ever played soccer, you've heard, me and Cade were talking about it before church. And Cade, will you come up here for a minute? Okay. And then, all right. Okay. I have to use him because he's about to leave. Okay. And then I need 3 other volunteers. Okay. Cameron, Carter, Luke. Sorry, they were the first ones I saw. Okay, so I want you to just yell like you would, because he's a goalie, yell like you would, you know, on the soccer field, like when they need to make a wall.
Make a wall.
No, you don't. Okay, so he would say, make a wall! And then the goalkeeper actually kind of positions them, so just kind of position them a little bit. So just a little bit, like just stand over here. I didn't warn him. So he's kind of, I didn't give him an idea of how to do this. See, put your arms together like those guys up there. Yeah. Like put your, come over here. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Okay. So now I want you to imagine that the goalkeeper is the missionary, okay? And the missionary is seeking to deflect the attacks of the enemy. And so what I believe God is saying to us tonight is the missionaries are calling, make a wall. They need some help defending against the attacks of the enemy. Because when there's a free kick coming, if you've got a huge goal, which usually there is, like that goalkeeper is trying their best to figure out where the attack is coming from and to try to, so when they have a wall of other players deflecting is helpful. We need to make a wall with our missionaries. Okay, thanks guys. Good job. Okay, so we are called as a part of God's team to make a wall, to keep out the attacks of the enemy. Put up the next one, please. Now, what's important is Christians of any age can make a wall. Okay, it's not just about, the first one was these adult men. It's not just about that. Listen, children's prayers are heard just the same as adults' prayers. And so we need to train our children. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for people in the church that are sick. Pray for each other. Pray for your friends that are struggling. A lot of times when we have our family devotions, we will pray, we'll say, okay, we pray into the right or to the left. And we'll pray for the person to our right in our family, and we'll pray for either a family in the church or an unsaved friend or a missionary family. And that's typically what we do. And so we'll usually name out a bunch of missionary families, and then all of us in the family take a turn praying for a different missionary family or for a different family in the church or for a different unsaved friend or family member. And so we need to understand, you guys, children, God hears your prayers. When you stand with a missionary and you pray for the missionary and you pray for Africa or Asia or Jordan or wherever it is, you are making a wall. You are helping to defend against the attacks of the enemy. We know that a wall keeps out. They put walls around cities to keep out those who would destroy the city. And we know that Satan comes to destroy. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We know that is the enemy's goal, is to seek who he may devour. And so we know that the enemy wants to devour our missionaries and also those that they're ministering to. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So we need to pray with our missionaries because the enemy wants to steal the work that's being done by them. He wants to steal the things that are being accomplished by the words that they are speaking. And we can get in agreement with them and pray that God would open the hearts of the people in Spain, that God would work through Ariel Rainey as she is speaking, that God would work through Rebecca Johns in Thailand and open the doors and keep out the attacks of the enemy that would hinder the work that she's doing. And by that, then we are in agreement with her and we are making a wall of defense against the attacks of the enemy. But another thing that we can do, God calls us to pray for those, the missionaries themselves, who will face attacks of the enemy. Listen, I grew up in a pastor's family, and I know that pastor's families are not immune to attack. We are not super spiritual so that we never face attacks of the enemy. And so I know that missionary families are the same way. They have marital issues. They have problems with their children. They struggle with, you know, with insecurities. They struggle with financial problems. And we as God's people can form a wall in front of them with our prayers to protect them from the attacks of the enemy, to encourage them when they are attacked, to be able to respond well. We can pray that God will strengthen them so that when the enemy attacks, they will recognize it for what it is. That's something on Tuesday night, we pray that their marriages will be strengthened. Why? Because if the enemy can destroy their family, he can destroy the work that God is doing through them. And that's usually how he works, is he starts at the root. And so we have to pray for them. Luke 22, 31 through 34. Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me," or when you are converted, "strengthen your brethren." And this was the time when Jesus told him, "You're going to deny me three times." And Peter said, "Lord, I'm never going to deny you." But Jesus saw what was going to happen. And then he prayed, and then he saw the results of that. Listen, God is going to reveal, as you start praying, God's going to reveal to you things that are going on. Jesus would know the thoughts of people. And sometimes you will find yourself praying for things that you're like, "I don't even know why I prayed that. Like, I was just praying for this missionary family, and I just started praying for their children that, you know, they would just not be discouraged, that they would just know that God loves them." Pay attention to those prayers, because we're going to look at in a second, the Holy Spirit prays through us. And often it'll happen, we don't even realize it. In that message, The Joy of Intercession, Robert Morris talked about that, how he started praying and his prayer just kind of turned, and he heard himself saying these things. And then when he talked to this family in the church, he said, they said word for word what I had said in my prayer. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit leads us how to pray, because he prays always according to the will of the Father. And so we don't want to just pray prayers. Now, of course, it's not a bad thing to pray protection over people, but we can't just get into vainly repeating. Like, I don't want to just pray things, bless this one and bless that one, and I'm not even really thinking about who they are, or what's going on with them. Like, when we pray, we need to be tuned in to heaven and listening to what God would say through us, because these prayers are powerful. Jesus said, "I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail." I guarantee you, there are missionaries that the enemy wants to sift them as wheat. He wants their faith to fail. He wants them to fail on the mission field. He wants them to fail in their marriage. He wants them to fail in every way possible. He wants them to misuse funds. He wants to cause as much drama and cause them to fall as far as possible, so that they cause as many people as possible to be offended. And that's why we need to pray for them. And we need to make a wall. Because as Jesus said, he said, "When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." He knew that Peter was going to fall, but he knew that it wasn't going to be the end of Peter. Prayer is an important part of spiritual battle. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Now, these previous verses are talking about the armor of God, and it goes into the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and the breastplate of righteousness. And then the last verse says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." It's important that we not only pray, of course, for the lost, but that we pray for the saints, that we pray for each other. And he says, pray for all the saints. And then Paul asks specific prayer for himself as a missionary to speak boldly and have the words to say. A lot of times missionaries are just like us. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what to say. They don't know how they're going to reach the people that God is calling them to reach. And they go with insecurities and fear and doubts about themselves and not knowing what they're going to do when they get there or how they're going to minister to the people that God is calling them to minister. And so this is a powerful prayer that we can pray for them. Paul said, and for me, that utterance, this is verses 19 and 20 from Ephesians 6, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul is saying this. I mean, to me, he was pretty bold already. But he was saying, pray for me that I will speak what I need to speak and that I will speak it boldly. Jesus bridged the gap. Rick talked about that this morning. Will you put that next PowerPoint up? Jesus bridged the gap. He is the intercessor. But we are called to pray and intercede for others. These two more sets of verses that I want to go over. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, led by the Holy Spirit. And he said in verse 1, 1 Timothy 2, 1, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. Now notice this part, because Paul is a missionary, that we, so he puts himself into this. He wasn't a king of a territory, but he was in authority. The missionaries are in authority. Many of our missionaries, some of the Plagenhoffs, they are in authority in the assemblies of God over countries, over regions. And they need us to stand in the gap for them. So he said that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, it says, first of all, that supplications in verse 1, prayers, intercessions. The word, one of the definitions of intercessions is an interview. And an interview, the definition of the word interview is a meeting of people face to face, especially for consultation. So I would challenge you, like I said earlier, in your time of intercession for people, have a consultation with the Holy Spirit. Say to the Lord, just listen for a minute and say, God, how do you want me to pray? Lord, what are you saying here? And sometimes that's the way that we'll hear him speak. Sometimes he'll lead us to pray a specific way. Now, other times, like I said, Romans 8, 26 and 27, let's look at that. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. I don't always know how to pray, even though I've been praying a long time for a lot of people. A lot of times I go to pray for people and I think, I don't even know how to pray. That's when it is always, it is a good thing at that point to pray in the Spirit, to pray in tongues, because the Holy Spirit knows how to pray and he knows what needs to be done. And often we will pray in tongues and in English and in tongues and in English, and they might kind of mesh together, and the Holy Spirit will lead us as we do that. This verse says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know how we should pray sometimes. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he, I love this verse, who searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. So, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit want to lead us in how to pray. They dwell with us, and we can trust that we will be led in how to pray. Jesus, the Bible says, ever lives to make intercession for us. Jesus knows how to intercede. And so we can seek God and ask him to reveal, to intercede for us, to lead us how to intercede. We can pray in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us and to partner with us. And so as we do that, we can get in agreement with God for what he's going to do in the earth. And listen, great things can happen. God desires to see all men to be saved, and we can be a part of that. And so we're going to play a song. And as this song plays, maybe a couple of songs we'll see, but at least this one song that's long, and then maybe another one. If you would, Jacob, since that song doesn't, yeah. perfect. He's going to put these up here. We have gone through and highlighted on these missionary letters. I would encourage you at some point, just kind of read some of the stuff, what's going on with these missionaries. But we have for tonight highlighted the prayer request of the missionaries on these letters so that you know how to get in agreement with them and how to pray for, because some of them, we don't know what's going on, but they can tell us how to pray specifically with them and get in agreement. This over here, these two missionaries over here, we don't support yet. Hannah Plagenhoff is the daughter of Kurt and Stephanie Plagenhoff, and also their daughter Sarah is also seeking to join. She's itinerating now. And so this family who grew up left the United States to move to Albania and grew up there, now those daughters are leaving their home country of Albania to go to other countries and spread the gospel. That's awesome. And so she gives kind of the vision that God has given her. So I would challenge you to read that and just get in agreement with her for what God is going to do. And so as the song, I just encourage you, walk around, look at the letters, and then pray over those prayer requests. You know, if you're, when you're done doing that, or, you know, you're waiting on somebody to move, you know, just take some time and pray over these things. And so we're just going to get in agreement, and God is going to hear us. Amen. Amen.